Thank you, Brother Jeff, for introducing us again this morning. Thank you, Church, for also allowing us to be able to stand here and share the gospel or share the word of God today. I know that only through Him and because of Him, we can stand here and share what God has done and what God has for us. Thank you for the song. As David says, I will sing unto Him as long as I have my own being. Should be our praises. Should be that desire of our hearts to always lift up our voices to God. I think a person who doesn't know God, a person who is not filled with God's Spirit, then he will just walk around with head down. But a person, a Christian, who has filled his heart with the, or his heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, will demonstrate, will share what God has done. If you have your Bible today, to please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 33. I'll just read it, and you can just look in your Bible. I'm using the American Standard. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even to the Father. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of a church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to the husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all glory, in all her glory, having no spot and wrinkle, any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your word. Lord, help us today as we look to you. And I pray that your word will speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, and use me as a vessel to convey your message to your people. I thank you and love you. For in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Every mother and every father, their desire always for the children to grow up and to serve the Lord and to serve the society and also the desire of the heart of our God. As we are His children, that we should live our lives pleasing unto Him, because that's what God wants as we live our lives in this world. Before I go on and talk about those verses, we just want to look at what the difference between the whole life and the new life. Because now Paul is talking about a children of God, those who are moving away from the whole life to the new life in Jesus Christ. The old life, it also talks about, or it shows us in those chapters also. But let's just look at some of them. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the old life, we were dead in trespasses in sin. We were dead. According to God's word, it says, when we were without Christ, spiritually, God looks at us, we're dead in the eyes of God. Secondly, it says, we walked according to the course of this world. That's also the course of the whole life. Always want to do the things of this world. Always want to do the things of this flesh. That's verse 2, chapter 2. Number 3, the whole life is like a leaf, want to live in the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Number 4, we are children of wrath. If we were still in darkness, if we were still under or outside the family of God, old life. Number 5, we were separated from God. So, and when we born into this world, we were born into sin. Many people sometimes they say, we all the children of God. Yes, God created us all. But because of sin, we're separated from God. Until the time we come to the place in our heart and life that we need God. Because we're all sinners, only saved by God. And then we come to God, bended knee, confess our sins before God, and believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. God saved us. Not only separated, we're separated from God, but also we call alien and strangers, having no hope without God. And the lifestyle we do or we have, like the way we speak, they say we speak falsely, or the things that is not pleasing unto God. But now when we look into the new life, when God saved us, then also our lives change. The way we act, our speeches, or everything that we do, it's all going toward God. Because God owns us. He made us alive with Christ. That's verse 5. He seated us with Him in heavenly places. That's verse 6, chapter 2. And we brought near God. Chapter 2, verse 13. And we became fellow citizens, and we are of God's household. That's verse 19. And then, chapter 4, verse 25. God expects us to speak the truth because we are the children of God. And so, when we look at these verses, start with verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. God tells us that since we are children of God, and so walk as a wise man. not like an unwise one. It says, carefully thinking of following the Lord Jesus Christ and live your life according to God's plan and will. Secondly, not only that we should walk wisely, but it says to buy time. Redeem the time, not wasting time, because we are the children of light and God gives us this opportunity. Every opportunity God gives us, that's the time God wants you to use for His glory and for His honor. Illustration of that, a prodigal son used his life unwisely. He went out and spent all his money and lived his life recklessly. And later on in his own life, he realized that he needs to go back to his father. And also a man or a wise man who built his house upon the rock, that's a wise man. And a man who builds his house on the sand, that's a foolish man. God wants us to redeem the time. How do you use the time God given you? Do you use for His glory and do you use for His honor? Are you taking any opportunity that God given to you to share, to touch every broken heart in this world? Sometimes I feel guilty in my own life as a minister, as a pastor. Sometimes I get bogged down in just looking at God's word, studying, maybe go to church, go on Sunday and preach the word. But sometimes I forget there are some other people out there that needs the love of God, that needs the touch of God through our lives. So God says, take every opportunity, buy the time, redeem the time that God has given us. How do we use our time? How do we use our time these days? So these days are evil, according to those scriptures, those verses. These days are evil. And so God wants us to redeem the time, to share God's love, to share God's word to the dying world. Also a church. Maybe there are some people that they feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands difficulties, trials that we face in our life. And we ask the Lord to put in our hearts a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to see and to discern His will for our lives, and to reach out and to touch those around us. That's a wisely walk, a wise type of walk that God expects us to have in our Christian life. Secondly, God expects us to have effective life. Not only to be having a wise walk with Him, but also effective walk with God. But how do we get that? How do we have effective life for God? Nobody can be effective on his own as we're living in this world. I will say it again, no one will be effective on his own understanding, in his own strength, in his own effort, But it says only through the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So I said, in order to be effective in our walk for God, we need to be filled by God's Spirit. A daily. It doesn't happen once. Of course, when we became a Christian, when we were born again, then there is also a work of the Holy Spirit in that area in our lives. We were baptized into the body of God. We were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We were sealed by the Holy Spirit. That happens the moment you and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But this one, it talks about in this verses 18 down, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a present continuous. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart and life every day of our lives in order for you and for me to be effective for Him. In the way we talk, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we preach, in everything we do, so we'll give God's glory and honor. Just like some people, they will use example like a cup, keep filling it up and overflow. But then I can also use an illustration of a cloth. The glove cannot survive, cannot work, cannot do anything without the hands going to the glove. Allow God to use you as a glove, so you and I can be effective for Him. And that's our prayer, and that's my prayer for church and for us Christians. Not only to walk wisely, but to walk effectively for God. In verse 19, it says, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then there is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, speaking with one another, singing psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody with the heart to the Lord. Wow. Maybe many times, sometimes we're in Babylon. Says, how can I sing the song of my Lord? How can I praise to my God and my Savior? I think the answer is, allow God to fill you up so that you can sing, you can talk, and you can sing praises unto God. Make melody in your heart to our God. No excuses at all for us Christians. Sometimes we just let those days of singers to get up and sing. But every Christian, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then that's the result. That says making melody to God in our hearts, singing hymns in our heart, singing psalms in our heart. How's your life? Have you been defeated lately, last week? Maybe today God is speaking to our hearts and life. Now I see, God, fill my cup and fill it up, Lord, so that I can sing for you with my heart. Even though in the midst of difficulties and trials, I can still sing unto you. Maybe many of you are going through a lot of trials, a lot of temptation, I do not know, but God knows. He sees through you. He sees what inside you and outside. Sometimes I kind of feel like, why God, you put me in this place to be a preacher? Sometimes I feel like I'm alone. Nobody, maybe sometimes they don't even care when I preach. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a different island. My family don't listen when I share. But when I look back to God's word, it gives me the song to sing in the midst of the darkness of life. But only the solution to sing with our heart toward God by the Holy Spirit to fill us. I'm not talking about so hyper and doing things like whatever you want to do, but just the kind of spirit that God fill your heart with, so you will sing for him and glorify him all the days of our life. First thing when I look at those verses, it says when we fill with the Holy Spirit, and then it says our relationship with one another becomes sweeter and sweeter because we speak to one another in the love of God. Sometimes there is friction in churches. Maybe there is friction within the family. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us? Allow God to fill your life with His Spirit so that your relationship with one another will become sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Number two, when our lives fill with the Holy Spirit, then the genuineness of our worship is right. Genuineness of our worship is right. It says from the heart. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, then the genuineness of our worship to our Master, to our God, is from the heart. Sometimes we just go through the formality in life, in our churches. But when our lives fill with the Spirit, and then, and only then, the genuineness of our worship is right, because from the heart. Because when we look to God, we say, God, I'm a sinner. You mold me, and you break me, so that I can conform to your own image, not my own image. Thirdly, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then it says our aim of worship becomes also right. Because our aim is not for anybody, for somebody, but for the mighty God, for to the Lord. When we are filled with God's Spirit, and then our aim of our worship is toward God. That's what I always want. I pray that God, in the church that I'm serving in, that the people, when they come, sometimes we come from our islands and we just come because they're from that island, they all come to this church. Sometimes they're trying to maybe even compete who can really sing good in the church, who can really play the piano or the keyboard. But I wonder if their aim of their worship is to please man or to please God. And I pray that our worship, our aim, would be to our God, our Savior and Lord. And number four, when our hearts filled with the Holy Spirit, our life filled with the Spirit of God, then the attitude of our heart changes. The attitude of our heart changes. How is that? It says, now we give thanks to God. Sometimes we don't want to give thanks when things go wrong. When we're really down financially, we don't want to give thanks. Why, God, you brought me to this area of my life? But when we fill with God's Spirit, and then the attitude of our heart change. In everything, give thanks to God. Number three, the third one, not only to be able to walk effectively, but to be able to walk in a godly way. Verses 22 to 33. To be able to walk in a godly way, but that care into the family, into the household. Now it touches the very core of the family of God, the family, husband and wife. Verses 22, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Sometimes, this is kind of a harsh words. Sometimes they say, oh, should I obey my husband? Look at those verses. It doesn't say obey. It says submit. Two different words. Wives are to submit to the husband, not to obey. What's the difference? Because sometimes the man will think that I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want to do. When I say chum, you chum. When I say cook, you cook. But the word submit is just natural. Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the man is the head of the family. That's just the order God put in the family. But for the woman is to subject, to submit to the man. As the church to God. I think I was looking at that says, I think if a wife doesn't submit to the husband, then Maybe that just like a church doesn't submit to God. But it didn't just stay with the woman, but it goes back also to the man. Now it comes to the man's side. Your role, our role, man, to love. To love our wives. In what ways? Sometimes we just naturally come out and say, honey, I love you. And maybe she doesn't want just to hear that. A woman wants to see your love by your sacrificial love. When it comes to help the children, you help. When it comes to wash the dishes, you wash. I think that's the picture God wants us to see. It boils down to being filled with God's Spirit. It starts out with singing unto God, with the melody in our heart. And then it goes into the family. The wife submits and the man loves. But in chapter 6, it goes on to the children, obey. Now the children, their part is to obey the parents. But we're not going to touch chapter 6. For this is the reason why the man shall leave his father and mother and be with the wife and cleave and or leave and cleave. This is the hard thing in our culture in Micronesia. Some people, young lady, when they get married, they stay. When the man get married, stay with the parents. But of course, sometimes, even though we leave the family, but emotionally, we still stay. We're still there. We haven't left yet. We still cling to them emotionally, financially. But the real purpose, when we are filled with God's Spirit, then we do our part for God's glory and for God's honor. When I read all in the book of Ephesians, it starts out with God want to give the people the picture of being in God, all the good things about being the family of God. And then when we are in the family of God, and this is also God wants, expect us to live our life as what he's saying in the scriptures, the verses. To walk wisely, to walk effectively, and to live godly for God. How's your life? How's your Christian walk before God today? I pray that we'll examine our own hearts before God's word and we'll say, God, you see me. The attitude of my heart, the way I walk, the way I conduct my life before my family. We want to praise God. We want to continue to give him the glory and the honor for loving us, for shedding his own blood on the cross to save us from our sins. We were alienated from God, but we brought back to God only through the redemption of his own son, Jesus Christ. He bought us up from the market of sin, no longer be slave, but we are in the family of God. In chapter 2 it says, imitate God. Follow God. Copy God in everything that he does. I always watch little kids. Whenever they follow their daddy, whenever the dad do something, they will do. that's just natural for a young little boy or little girl who follow the mother and the father. How much more the children of God. God wants us to also follow, to model our lives after God. I pray that the Lord will challenge our heart, and I pray even more that God will even challenge me as I live my life, as I see this world, as I see my family, as I see the people around me, that I will buy up the time for God and for God alone. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity to share what God has put in my heart. And I pray that the Lord will touch our heart by His word. Amen.